It's a wonderful, wonderful day. Have you ever had a favorite pen that you used and you just use it and use it and use it, and then one day you go to write with it and it's empty. It's empty because you used it up. It's all gone. That pen gave its all for you. Well, today is a special Sunday, and it's Memorial Day Sunday. And we pause and we think about those who were in the military and made the supreme sacrifice. You know, the old saying that's quoted so often is that all gave some, but some gave all. From the very beginnings of this nation until today, we owe a great debt of gratitude to some of those people, and today we pause and remember them. So many people think that today is just a reason to go to the lake or a reason to have a party, but we know better because we are people acquainted with sacrifice. We have a few announcements here. We have next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, Mission Committee meeting and the VBS committee meeting. Committee or be just VBS participants? VBS. Yes, everybody. VBS participants meeting next Sunday immediately after morning worship concludes. And today there will be a sign-up sheet for VBS volunteers out on the outside. And you just stop and go ahead and write your name down. It'll be fine, I promise. Also, the Ladies Retreat Committee is seeking volunteers. Everybody put your hand up real quick. Dang it, nobody ever falls for that. Okay, Ladies Retreat Committee, and you don't have to be of the gentle gender to volunteer. You can help, okay? Our last announcement is that school is almost out. All the kids are like, yay! All the parents are like, oh no. School's almost out. During the daytime, we're going to be more careful driving through neighborhoods because the kids are going to be running around all day long. And so just keep that in mind. Are there any other announcements? This is the announcement committee back here. Anybody? Any other announcements? No. Okay. Thank you so much, Carol. Oh, yes. If you would like to volunteer to help with the Ladies Retreat Committee, you can see Kim or Amy, either one. Kim, stand up in case nobody knows you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate your good message there. I also want to just jump in a couple things. One is, first of all, thank you for being here. I know it's Memorial Day weekend and a lot of folks are traveling, but I'm grateful that you're part of this church gathering for this morning. Just a couple things. We're wearing white today because we've noticed in our liturgical calendar it's Trinity Sunday. And though I'm not going to be talking about Trinity per se, but white is a color generally of special importance. So it works well also with Memorial Day. So, and then we'll go back to red next week. Annual conference. For those of you who have been in the Methodist Church for a long time, you know we have an annual meeting once a year. And so Ben and I and Pam, my wife, is going to be going to annual conference. Ben's representing our church and Pam's representing our district because we have to have delegates, half clergy and half laity, in order to do the business of the church. So most of you, it's not going to affect at all, but I wanted to invite you, if you have some time and want to get out or something like that, the opening worship at First United Methodist Church in Richardson is really a magnificent service. It's intended to, you know, rally us all up, get us excited. And so if you have an opportunity, that's next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at First United Methodist Church in Richardson. And I guess that's all I have, Miss Carol. Thank you.
Please stand as we join together on this Memorial Day Sunday and sing Majesty in America the Beautiful.
Children's come up for our affirmation of faith. As they are coming up, Ben made the comment that school lets out in 2 weeks. So my vacation ends in 2 weeks when my kids come home and I have to take care of them. However, this summer we've got a lot of activities for the kids and teenagers. And some of them start in about 14 days. So we need your help in the fact of I can only drive one car at a time. So I need some help with some drivers. So if you're available on Fridays throughout the summer in June and July, we need some help with you just coming and simply driving kids to someplace. Everywhere we're going, get you guys out of having to do anything. I'm going to jump with the kids. My wife is swimming with the kids. What else are we doing? There's an adult soundproof room at one of the places we're going to. Feel free to sit in there. It's glass. You can see everything. But if you'd like to help, we definitely need help with drivers for this summer and these activities. So if you guys will join with me, you ready? We'll do our affirmation of faith. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Children's exit, if we'll spend a few moments greeting each other as we are accustomed to doing.
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder.
Aren't you glad that we have a Savior who was willing to go to the cross and give up his life so that we may indeed have amazing grace?
Thank you.
Very nice selection for today's anthem today. Thanks, choir, for the music that you always bless us with. So before we enter our time of prayer, I was just going to make a couple of notes here. First of all, I'd like for you to take notice that we have a couple new ushers with us today. So joining Al and Dale is Amanda and Alex. So they're back there in the back. So we're proud. Thanks, John, for making those arrangements for us and continuing to use our young people. No offense, Al and Dale. No. We love you, too. We love you, too. But it's great to integrate our younger people in our service of worship. What's that? Okay, it's nice to be vertical is what he said. As far as people in the hospital, the only one I'm aware of, and I don't know his status as of this weekend because I haven't checked on him, is Earl Harris. He was in the hospital, Presbyterian, a good part of the week last week, and he's having some knee problems that he's trying to work out. I think many of you probably know that story. But I believe he was going to be transported to a rehab facility. So we want to keep our own Dinah. Dinah's not here, is she? No. Keep them in our prayers today as we have this time. Also, this is Memorial Day weekend, as we've noted. It's not Veterans Day weekend, but I thought, nevertheless, it's important to recognize our veterans as well as those who have given their all for their country. So I just want to ask all our veterans, they just stand for a minute and let us just give you a word of thanks. If you could just stand for a minute, veterans. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Dale, you're already standing, right? We don't want to forget about you. All right. Let's have this time where we can join together in a moment of prayer. So, Eternal Father, who has deemed that all people should live in freedom and not fear, awaken in us a new appreciation of our land, that we may apply ourselves to the work of keeping alive your will for all creation. Grant us your spirit as we remember and honor those who have fought the good fight and have finished their course. On this day, we call to remember those who served in far-off places and those who laid down their arms to march into that land of eternal peace. We pray for their families, members who have also valiantly and silently served their nation and supported their loved ones. We pray that surviving family members may find rest during this time of remembrance. How grateful we are for our country and for all nations that pursue peace. Help us to remember also that freedom does not automatically perpetrate itself, that we have to work on it, nurture it, protect it, and pray for it. Lord, be with us now to strengthen us, to keep us, to protect us, to uphold us, to direct us, to keep us from straying from your ways. And in the end, we pray that the day will come when all your children will lay down their arms and pursue kindness and grace. In our journey, help us to walk humbly in your sight as we serve you. May your blessings be upon us. We offer these words in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we're called to be people of love and peace and thankfulness. We're called to be people of appreciation. Father, today is heavy on our hearts, knowing all those families who sent a loved one off and they never came home. Father, we know that you know that feeling all too well. When you sent your son here, he made the greatest sacrifice, a sacrifice of love. He gave us a gift of himself. He gave us a gift of forgiveness. And he covered our sins with his blood. Father, in the knowledge that you've called us to be a giving people, we pray that you will help us to give as you've called us, of ourselves, of our time, of our increase. Father, may the offering that's collected today be sufficient for the work that you've called us to here at St. Philip's. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you hear me okay, Steve? This little piece here, and I have a hard time doing it every time. Second. All right. Is that good? One, two, three. A, B, C. All right. There we go. All right. Today's scripture reading is going to deviate a little bit from our lectionary. The lectionary reading is always printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with the lectionary reading, which, remember, runs in a three-year cycle, and it covers just about all the Bible. So you're welcome to do that as your own personal discipline. But today's lesson is speaking specifically, I think, to our message for today. It'll be a solemn message, so we need to prepare ourselves for that. There's not going to be a lot of humor that I'm going to be presenting here in just a few moments. And in fact, I'll probably be sharing a little bit more about my experiences than I'm accustomed to doing or I'm comfortable with doing. So I ask for your grace. So here's the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through, actually I'm going to start with 1 through 4. I'm sorry. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall come forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, dreaming of the day. I was noticing the bolts, and there's a little bit of error. That's of should be a smaller case, zero or O instead of larger, but that's besides the point. Dreaming of the day. I've only had one combat tour since I've been in the Navy. Some of you, I think most all of you know them, Navy Reserve Chaplain. What's a combat tour? Well, a combat tour means that my unit wasn't directly involved in combat missions. I was attached to a Marine battalion at that time. Navy chaplains serve Marines. And many of our unit was composed of a mix of active duty and reservist. During this tour, I would keep a journal and would write down some impressions that I witnessed. And one of my earliest impressions as I was going through training was that the Marines were eager to engage the enemy. Think about their age and where they are. Most of our Marines had not seen combat in their careers, but many were restless and eager to get into the fight. In fact, I have read, at least in this most recent war, that only 1% of military personnel actually participated in combat missions. 1% of all military. The news focuses on that 1%, so we think that all military involved in some sort of combat operations. But actually, most of the military members served their country by protecting the homeland and American interests, both here in CONUS and OCONUS environments. Another impression I had is that these were all young people, or at least most of them that I was working with. I would say between, I'm just guessing, 19 and 20, 25, 26, something like that. Some a little younger, some a little older. Except for me, I was real old. At that time, I was. I wondered to myself, do these young people have any perception of what real combat is like? Because I theorized in my head and I made an assumption that the younger generation, the only experience they had of combat was through video games. Right? And in video games, you have a choice of whatever weapon that you want to have at a moment's notice. You never run out of ammunition. In fact, you can just go on and on. You can destroy the whole city by yourself. And then blood was continually, what I've seen, the few games that I've seen, blood splatters everywhere. But it's a video. It's not real. It's just a color. It's not something that really gives life to individuals. So a lot of young people spent a lot of time mastering the skills of their games, giving them the false impression that they were invincible. Young people already think they're invincible to begin with. That's why the Army utilizes younger people. But when you add the conquering of video games, even more so is that case. So I felt it was part of my responsibility as a chaplain to prepare these young Marines for the potentially hostile and dangerous environment that we were going to enter into. And I recall talking to some Marines and reminding them that war is not a video game, that war is really blood and guts, real blood, real guts. And some overly motivated Marines didn't care about my advice. They just wanted to get into the action. Or as we said during my time, because I know some of you are Vietnam veterans or Korean and so forth, but we would say Marines were eager to go outside the wire and kick in doors. You were really something if you were able to kick in the door of your enemy. All Marines wanted the Covenant Combat Action Ribbon that some of you know or are aware of as a sign that they could wear home, a sign of bravery and courage. I participated in combat. I engaged the enemy. I survived. Many of the Marines wanted to come home as heroes. And if they didn't feel as though they were a hero, sometimes they would just make it up and tell their families that they did something special. When I got a call to go forward, I recall my superior asking me this pointed question. Do you think you can work in an environment of deceased people? Do you think you could do that? And I said at that time, I said, well, yes, because I'm a seasoned pastor. I was a seasoned pastor at that time, and I had done many funerals. And so I felt like I could handle such a responsibility. But what I wasn't prepared for was the condition of some of our war dead. Because seeing the civilian life, when I deal with deceased people who have not been cremated, of course, they're all made up, right? There's a beautician that comes in that fixes the hair. There's a makeup artist that comes in and places makeup on our face. We usually wear our nicest clothes. Unless you're a farmer, you may wear suspenders or something like that. But you usually wear your nicest clothes. But the bodies I were dealing with were not that way. What I did, however, do, along with my other colleagues, my other chaplains, is when somebody would come in from the field, deceased, either me as a chaplain or my colleagues or someone would go to that person and stay with that person as much as possible until they were transported out of that area as they made their way to the long journey. Some people would ask, why are you staying at the side of a person who is dead? And I guess in our minds we justified that because we wanted the families back home, the parents back home, to know that their loved one was never left alone. And so there was always somebody with their loved one as they made their journey back across the sea. And I share these words not to upset anyone, but to help us all understand that war battle is not a glorified event. It's glorified if it's a video game. It's glorified if we made it through and came out a hero, but typically it is not. So war should be the very last option of any nation when dealing with an opposing country. It is not to be entered into lightly. I know I'm going to sound like a pinko pacifist here, but I just want us to be realistic about war. I think that combat veterans understand this perspective more than anyone else. Those of you who may have experienced combat, you know what I'm talking about. So, for example, my grandfather was a World War II vet who fought in Europe in many campaigns. He was deeply disturbed when I told him it was my turn to serve the country. He was a staunch Republican, but he disagreed with the Bush administration for entering into the war with Iraq. Now, that's not a political statement. I understand what he was actually trying to say. While it was beyond my pay grade to question any higher levels of decision makers, I understood his point, and that is that war should be the very last consideration when debating on how to respond to an enemy. The very last consideration. So let's look at our lesson a little bit. Today's reading from the early chapter in Isaiah is a message intended for the Israelites, or in this case, the Judeans, who were always at war. So this message was intended from them by Isaiah, because here was a nation that was always at war, had enemies both within its borders, within the walls of Jerusalem, its capital, and within the borders of its nation. It had enemies on the outside. They were always threatening to engage or to conquer Judah. So the prophet seems to blame those in authority for neglecting the faith when they needed counsel. He implied that such a pathway had not been effective in times past, and nor will it be in times present or in the future. So he's fussing at them, if you will. He's fussing at the leaders, saying, how come you have not considered the faith? How come you have not considered God and your decisions to engage in these activities? Now, the desire for peace had always lied with the Israelites. Don't get me wrong. They were not warmongers. But their devotion was to their own wisdom, not to God's. And that's where the breakdown occurred. Their devotion was to their own wisdom, their own decision-making, and not on God. And so it led Israel, or the Judeans, to be in this rotation of war and peace, war and peace, war and peace, war and peace. When was it going to ever stop? The passage that reads, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, is a passage that is believed to be an ancient appeal to turn to God for direction and hope. It also appears in Micah chapter 4, verse 4. So it's an ancient writing. Turn to God for direction, guidance, hope. The frustration centers on the fact that the Israelites had not learned lessons from the past and had continually to avoid the guidance of our Lord. Now, in comparison, many of us here can understand the frustration of giving advice to someone just so they ignore us. We all can understand that frustration. When we have said to somebody, your way is not working. Your way is not working. Let's try another way. Perhaps the way of the faith. If only Israel could walk in his paths, as the scriptures say, walk in his paths, perhaps they could avoid the destructive nature of war repeatedly, over and over and over again. And the author portrays a picture of what could be. What could be? That is, weapons that could be converted to farming equipment in order to feed and give life to people instead of weapons being used to take away life. Swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, nations not lifting a sword against another nation, a place where nations will not engage or not be in war anymore, a place of peace. That's a great image. It's a great image. And it is a dream, a wish, at least that Isaiah had for the people of Judah. Would Judah and Israel, would they continue to consult God? Or would they consult God? I don't know. Because Judah falls, and so does Israel to the north. Critics have mainly ignored this piece of advice as being too passive in its response to a threat. They have labeled today's lesson as mere poetry, a fantasy, if you will, not realistic. It's not realistic to think of the world not being involved in battle or war. Yet the faithful community views this lesson as advice on what course should be taken when dealing with conflict. In other words, is war the only response that we have to avoid a threat? Is that the only option left for us? And I would say that today's lesson tells us, no, that war should not be entered into lightly. Now, we can have a whole separate conversation about the justification of war. I get that. Sometimes that happens. But today we're going to talk about peace. Last August, we had a local religious leader of a large congregation make what I consider a shocking statement. He was speaking with regards on how the United States should deal with North Korea. And this is what he noted. He noted that God had given authority to our government, and I quote, take out, end of quote, another national leader. I was immediately taken back that a Christian religious leader would make such a statement. Is not our faith a faith of peace and grace, mercy? Our faith is not one to take out somebody else, another one of God's creatures. Christians today are not the Christians of yesteryear when Christians used to engage in crusades. Remember? They would be involved with crusades that would fight against any other religion that was invading, that they felt was a threat to their way of life. So while this person tried to explain his position with more clarity, the damage had already been done by his remark. His statement, in my opinion, just my opinion, I hope you go home for lunch and talk about a different opinion maybe, but he was reckless and he had a loose understanding of the nature of God. Well, one could justly argue, as I've said before, the justification of war is to counter evil's destructive force, and there are times when that happens, of course. To endorse God's wrath upon another one of God's family members seems to be an immature perspective of our understanding of God. It is completely counters the message of our lesson, which essentially maintains that the world's people have a tendency to want to destroy each other, but this is wrong. There is a better way. There is a better way. Real war, as some of you understand, probably more so than me, is a real loss of life. Really, no kidding. It's not a video game. It's a real shedding of blood from an open wound. It's a real sucking of air. It's a real loss of limbs. Real world war, as I would remind our young Marines, is not what anyone would want or desire. It may be a response to an unavoidable threat, but those who advocate that war is the only solution of conflict has not tasted or smelled the destruction of war. They just haven't. This is why I'm always wary of those persons who are eager to volunteer our young people to go to war with another country. I always ask to myself, is this a combat veteran that's making this claim? Is this? And typically, it's not. Do they really know what they are asking of our younger people? God's children should not be fighting each other. Do we think that that is what God would want of his creation? Let me ask you something. Most of you raise kids. Think about this. Do parents tell their children to handle arguments by just punching each other out? Is that the way we teach our kids? If you disagree with your brother or your sister, just punch her or him out. Just knock them over. We don't do that, do we? If we don't do that in our own small houses, what do you think God's perception is, right? So at this time, I'm going to prepare to read the names of four servicemen who paid the price of war over the past year. This is just since last Memorial Day. Four servicemen, which may not seem much, but it's four lives. And these four members are from Texas, because it would take too long to read names of the fatalities that occurred just this past year from all over our country. And I would like to focus on those who, as I said, came from our state. And then afterwards, you will be invited to stand as taps are played by Mark. My purpose in highlighting this moment is that we never forget the sacrifices of our younger people and the price they paid to pursue peace. And I, like their family members, and perhaps you, will continue to dream of yet another day when nations will stop lifting swords against other nations so that everyone can live in peace. I dream of that day. I dream of that day. Specialist Alan Levy Stigler Jr. of Arlington, Texas, died August 13, 2017, at the age of 22. Specialist Alexander W. Misseldine of Tyler, Texas, died October 1st, 2017, at the age of 20. Chief Warrant Officer Lee M. Smith of Arlington, Texas, died November 11th, 2017, at the age of 35. Master Sergeant Jonathan J. Dunbar of Austin, Texas, died March 30th, 2018, at the age of 36. Thank you. I invite you to continue to remain standing as we go through the service. And just, again, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak about this important subject from the pulpit. Whether you agree or disagree, it's still an important message for all of us to hear. I'm sure you will agree. If you'd like to know more about the church, or perhaps you'd like to renew your relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am always available. Any of our church leaders are available to talk to you, or to be in prayer with you. So we will go into our song, and then we'll have a word of grace. Receive these words of grace from Paul's letter to Ephesus. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. All right, let's join hands together. We're going to sing our sending song here, our closing song. God bless America.